On today's episode of Talkin' Tom, we're exploring the dark side of comedy with the movie Punchline, co-starring Broadway actor Tom Hanks.
Punchline was released in 1988 and was written and directed by David Seltzer, and is Tom's first collaboration with Sally Field, who would later play his mother in Forrest Gump.
So, loosen up, test your mic, and practice those punchlines, because you're on next!
Is this thing on?
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates.
What up, Hanks heads?
Welcome back.
We're back. Another episode of Talkin' Tom, the Pod Hanks Tomcast, where we watch Tom Hanks movies and we talk about them.
In chronological order. And after a long break, it's been a whole week since we've talked to you guys.
I know, I miss you guys.
Horrible, horrible time.
Daniel, I kind of miss you.
I know, we have weird schedules now.
I started this new job now that I'm like a crazy career woman who has it all, and I don't have time for anybody.
Well, the circumstances of this, it's 8:30 at night right now. We didn't even get to watch this movie together. This is the first movie in Talkin' Tom history that we watched apart because we couldn't align schedules.
Which will be interesting.
Devastating. But then it's cool because we have zero idea what the other person thought. We have not discussed it at all.
I was so tempted to text you, but I just didn't.
Yeah, I watched and I was like, okay, I'm going to hold this in, save it for the podcast.
Well, how have things been going with you?
Things are good. The festival was a rousing success.
Yeah, it was. That was fun.
I can reveal it now. We finished the festival. It's a short film festival. We finished it with a screening of American Graffiti, and then Candy Clark came to talk to me.
It was awesome.
And I felt like a enlightened human, and she was lovely. Next festival, the goal, Tom.
Oh my obviously. God! If we just screened Tom Hanks films or like homages. We got to get all of our friends on board with that, but...
I wonder how successful a Tom Hanks Festival would be. Carefully curated. Probably pretty. Yeah.
I think.
There's some good ones. Do you think you would put Punchline in the festival?
Probably not.
Well, then what have you been up to? You said, do you have a new job?
I have a new job. I did want to tell you, I've been listening to this new band. Try to guess which band I'm talking about. It's like... kind of like rock music. There's like a male and female vocalist, but I like the female vocalist the most. I was like gonna do a bit. Now I can't think of how I was gonna like figure the bit out. Is this new band, Fleetwood Mac? Have you ever heard of them?
Oh, I've heard tell of them.
Yeah, they're good.
It's a weird time to get into it because did you see the news yesterday?
No.
One of them, Lindsey Buckingham, left the band.
Oh.
Like, as of yesterday.
What does that mean?
Oh, I mean, I didn't know that they had been making any music. I guess they may have been touring, but they're done, I guess? Or it's just...
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, they're this hot new band I just discovered, and I just want to show the whole world that Fleetwood Mac is good.
Rumors is start to finish a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of my favorite bands, The Thermals, broke up the other day. On very good terms... On very good terms. They posted like this really sweet thing and they're like, we did way more than we thought we did and we're going to call it quits from here. And wow. I was just kind of sad, but...
That's devastating. I can see that like you've...
It rattles my world a little bit, but...
Oh, Daniel, right. You're crying.
Yeah. Whew, it's tough. But I tweeted at them and they responded. So then I was like, okay, we chill.
You got what you needed.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, today, I guess not today. I watched it last night. When did you
watch it? I watched it today.
Okay, we watched the movie Punchline.
Punchline.
Starring Tom Hanks, Sally Fields?
Yes.
And John Goodman.
Yeah.
Interesting. Pretty sweet casting. Yeah.
Did you never seen this before? You never heard of it before?
No, and when I played my own game of Guess the Plot, I thought it was going to be a romantic comedy about a couple, like that were already together, and they were trying to make it in the comedy world.
For some reason, my first guess before I saw the poster was that it was going to be a boxing movie.
Oh, Punchline, yeah.
Which is really dumb. I don't know why I thought Tom Hanks would be in a boxing movie, but I was like, wow, a boxing movie, that's a change of pace, and I don't know why. It's like a straight drama.
Whoa. So when you watched, were you just like...
Well, once I saw the cover...
You're right, that's right.
Once, because I like rented it, and once it popped up, it was like, you know, something about a tagline about a joke, and I was like, oh,
okay. Yeah. All right. Well, for those of you who haven't seen the movie, Daniel, please kindly sum it up for us.
This is a weird one, because... Sally Fields is our main character in this, but Tom Hanks has just about as big of a part. He's like a big supporting character. But Tom Hanks is an aspiring, not even aspiring, he's a comedian, who performs at this venue a lot, and Sally Fields starts to get involved in comedy, and she sort of takes a liking to Tom Hanks, and they kind of help each other figure themselves out and sort of form a relationship, platonic and romantic. That causes some issues because Sally Fields is married to John Goodman.
It is.
That's a cool twofer.
I know, and John Goodman looks so youthful in this one.
John Goodman is such a pleasant presence in everything he's in.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Which is so nice.
Well,
that's pretty much it. And then, you know, obviously things are gonna... We're gonna have some stuff go wrong. And,
And I mean, you said dramedy. It does... It's not straight comedy.
No, and I think, personally, that is a mistake.
Yeah.
Because, and maybe it's just a taste thing, but I didn't find the movie that funny.
I did write down, are these jokes supposed to be funny?
And it could just be, like, that time period. You know, I have a different sense of humor, different sensibility of things. But I feel like you have a movie about stand-up. It's a risky move. It's a bold move. And you've really got to, like, nail in what you show. You have something like, did you see Don't Look Twice? The Mike Birbiglia improv movie? Like, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
And that was, like, led by real... I mean, I think a lot of these people in this movie are comedians, but I don't know.
Stand-up is a whole different beast, though.
Yeah.
The thing... And then with comedy, it is so difficult because everybody finds so many different things funny. Yeah. But it seemed like they made this movie for a specific set of people who laugh at certain jokes.
Yeah. And it's so serious.
Uh-huh.
Like, about the people behind the scenes is very serious. Like, they have caricatures of kind of themselves, but in the end it's, like, a very serious... Like, it is about stand-up and, like, these things that they're struggling with. So it's kind of a jarring tonal shift, I kind of felt like.
Yeah. I mean, I did feel like I could appreciate some of these deeper, richer backstories of these characters. And I felt like every question I had, at least, was answered. Mostly in the sense of, like, why would you choose this? Like, why comedy?
Sort of the art versus the career thing.
Yeah.
I thought, in that regard, the movie did a lot of things really well. Like, they spent a lot of time with Sally Fields and her struggle, and I think they made that feel real, where you understood the thing she was coming from and, like, why she was doing the things she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of that with Tom Hanks' character, who I've already forgot their names.
Tom and Sully. What do you mean? Stephen and Lila.
Stephen and Lila. Yeah, Stephen's character, we sort of get like the movie sort of starts with him in his sort of initial fall, but we don't get so much of him. He's kind of a one note through a lot of it, and then sort of has a shift toward the end.
Yeah, I guess that big monologue.
Yeah.
Right, so Sally Fields plays a mother, a stay-at-home mother. She's not, doesn't have a job, I don't think. Named Lila, and she's kind of struggling with this, her own identity outside of being a mother and being a wife. So she loves comedy, but she sucks at it, apparently. She can't get anyone to laugh at her jokes because she's not telling jokes that resonate. Like, she's a mom, but she's telling all these, like, dirty jokes about, like, innuendos.
Yeah, and she's buying her jokes.
Yeah, and she's paying someone else to come with her material, and that backfires.
She doesn't have the personal edge to things. She's telling jokes at the minimum of what a joke is, but they have no personal resonance with her.
Yeah, set up, punchline.
Yeah.
It's like
the title of the movie.
Wait a second.
Huh. It's not a boxing movie.
Oh, no. And Stephen, on the other hand, is a very well-versed comedian. He knows how to read a room. He knows how to tell a joke based on his own experiences and, like... And just make them work. But he's got his own thing where he's, like, trying to be a doctor to please his dad. But he either isn't dedicating enough time to it because he loves comedy more. Or he He's squeamish at the sight of blood. That's the thing he says in the monologue.
The opening was confusing because I thought we were supposed to believe that he had cheated somehow on his thing. But in reality, it seems like he's actually very smart, but has sort of like a loss of motivation or uncertainty. So he almost, like, or are we supposed to believe that he kind of gave it up on purpose or just actually flunked it? I don't know how med school works, but what a weird thing to be like, you had 98 on this paper and you screwed up this one time on this, you're done.
Yeah, you're evicted from med school.
Yeah. And what the stark contrast of like one of the highest paying jobs in the U.S. to like your art.
Yeah.
They really want you, the director and who wrote the movie too, like really wanted you to know that.
Yeah.
Here's what I believe.
Well, it's, I think that's an interesting question. Did he purposely fail? I don't think he, like, he might have subconsciously done it or unconsciously. It was more that, like, eventually your passions just take over. Like, you can't ignore them anymore. So you spend that extra 30 minutes developing a joke rather than cramming the, what was the word that he didn't remember was rectum?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
That was the first punchline of the movie.
There were a few jokes I did laugh at.
Yeah, there was. I'll start with some positive things.
Okay.
I thought everyone in this movie was really good.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, Sally Fields killed it. Like, she's so good in this movie, which is a bummer because I wish it was a little. I wish it was a little better. And for what I, which is a bummer because I wish I liked it more because of her. But some of her stand-up stuff, the way that she just sort of effortlessly falls into it is really good. And then Tom Hanks is great. Is like pretty normal Tom, I feel like, for most of it. But then the monologue where he sort of flubs it in front of those judges the first time, and they've kind of come to scout him out, and he just goes through like this crazy ring of emotion, was really good. And almost seemed like just an actor showcase of here's everything Tom can do. Like, you saw him in Big, but now he can do this.
Yeah. I do appreciate the depth that his character got. So Alan in Splash, that character that Tom played, he was just kind of, the whole time you're like, what the fuck? Like, why are you being such a dick all the time? And with Steven, I had the same initial question. I was like, this guy's awful. Why is anybody even, like, taking him seriously?
Yeah.
And then you find out there's more, you know, he has this big breakdown on stage, basically. And he does this big monologue about how his dad forced him into being a doctor. Just, he gets more nuanced and it all makes sense.
Yeah, they sort of pile on the pity in ways, or they pile on the backstory so that you finally get a chance to, like, unlock that persona that I think that some of the other movies haven't done. Which is smart, because you really, like, buy into, like, why this person's so likable, but also sort of this miserable wreck that, and a lot of things we watch on screen, like, cringe at.
Oh my god, so much.
I got worried the second time he went up that it was going to be like another cringe fest, and I was like, this is so unsatisfying.
Kind of was.
Yeah, and then he picks itself. I was sort of surprised when we got to the end that the ending ended up like it was, because I was like, I just still didn't think he was the, but again, the jokes,
it worked for us. I also felt extremely uncomfortable at the part where he's making this plea to Lila about, like, we should get married, blah, blah, blah. So, like, and she's like, no.
Yeah.
And then he says, what if I tell you I will die if I, like, he, I mean, we have time, I hope we have time to discuss a lot of these problems.
Yeah, well, definitely.
But that's, it's abuse, what he's doing. It's emotional abuse. But the cringing part, the thing that I was so unsettling was him, like, it's a really long take of him walking out into the street and it's raining.
Oh yeah, doing the scene in the rain thing.
Yeah, and he dances on the light post and he pretends to hang himself and he's like playing in traffic. It was like, and I mean, it elicited a response from me because it cuts to Sally and she's like, or to Lila, and she's just looking at him like, I don't know what to do.
If you put different music to that, it could be a thriller. Because it is like really, especially in today's, with today's worldview, like very dark. Yeah, to keep up with that, I do, the one thing I thought it did well, though, is that we watch a lot of Tom's manipulative sort of advances on her, and there's sort of like the side of her that sees, I think, that other world, but for the most part, she's like diligent about what she wants, which I think is the coolest thing about that character, is it about what she wants, and she does exactly what she wants every time, and no one stands in her way. When she realizes she's won the contest at the end, and she goes the guy's like, if I told you that you won, would that change things? And she's like, yeah. And then she comes back in and gets her purse. She's like, oh, I forgot my purse. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, thank God. Because I thought she was going to be like, well, you know, maybe I can see how this goes for my family.
Yeah, so the big thing that, the big climax of the movie, or the big thing everybody's heading towards, is this contest that they're hosting at the comedy club called The Gas Station, where some unnamed big network, that's just how they refer to it, which is very funny to me, just a network, is coming to kind of scout talent, but also after the 10 performances, they'll say who's the winner, and then they get a chance to perform on Johnny Carson or something like that. And it's the whole time you're wondering, is Lila going to win or is Steven going to win? Because they start working together and their humor is like so similar to each other, and Steven coaches her, and I don't really know what she does for him other than like he falls in love with her, but it's super unrequited.
Did you buy that?
No.
The only way I bought the love thing was that sort of like this pitiful version of Steven where he's just so desperate for anything that makes things almost... He almost longs for tradition, like yeah. Just something, I don't know, like something safe. And I think she represents everything safe that he's afraid of. A family, yeah. A marriage.
I agree. I was not rooting for that relationship in the slightest.
And I don't think the movie ever thinks you will, which is smart. Yeah. They sort of just let you sort of dislike him, but feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
I will say, Lila's been dealt kind of a rough hand. So besides the fact that she's struggling with her own identity as a woman, those were some themes that I feel like came up a lot with her. Like her own femininity was something that she struggled with, and what was expected of her from her husband. They have these conversations, her and John Goodman, in front of their children, like at breakfast or like right before a dinner party, like these insane where he's telling her all these things he expects of her. And she's saying, I want to do comedy. I want to do this. And he's eventually like ends with him like screaming at her that you'll never make anyone laugh. You're not funny.
Yeah.
He's incredibly awful to her. And he expects her to just have a hot plate of food for him when he gets home from work. And
prepare food for his guests and
it's like she's there to be his beck and call, and she is headstrong. She does keep pursuing things despite that.
Yeah.
But God.
I almost think it is sort of, I don't know, we don't see a lot of women representation, especially in stand-up comedy. I think that's a cultural thing that is important to talk about. And especially for the 80s, I think it's very cool that the movie is honest about that, because I think those relationships, especially for our parents' age people, is like very real. There's an expectation of gender roles, and the movie plays into those and sort of this person escaping them. Mm-hmm. But it is strange because it does become this thing of like she has to prove herself to him to finally get him to open up because he won't listen.
Yeah.
But they play him really interesting because he's the most traditional like husband role. Mm-hmm. Like he works, she doesn't work. He comes home and just wants to relax. It's her job to do this and that. And so in his mind, this previous generation to this generation, like there are the here's what you do things. Mm-hmm. And he has no appreciation for what this other world is, like this art world, because she won't let him in also. She's like mortified that he would ever see
it. That's right. Yeah. She doesn't let him listen to her comedy.
Yeah. So it's sort of interesting that when they finally do get to blend, like the note she sends him or he sends her, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, that's pretty clever.
I think where it all changed for me was... They had this big moment where he essentially chases her out of her own home saying, yeah. You're never going to make anyone laugh. You're not funny. And she's like, I'm leaving. And then at one point she gets a haircut, and the haircut is awful. It's like the worst haircut. And she comes home, and it all switched for me then, because she comes in and he starts yelling, take it easy, which I guess is a way of soothing her. But I'd be like, take what? Like, no, like that's like calm down.
Yeah.
I cannot calm down. I'm in a crisis. Especially if my hair looked like that. But then the whole family kind of like rallies behind her, and you finally see, they start cheering. You're the most beautiful mom I've ever seen. Like you look like Princess Diana. You're so pretty. I don't think did they say Princess Diana?
I don't remember. Like, maybe. Make that up? A similar haircut though. When it looks good.
Yes. Yeah. Obviously, Princess Di.
Yeah. Is that the first time you really see John Goodman's character as, like, a compassionate person?
Yeah. Like, you're like, oh, okay, this is where she stays.
Because they've had a conversation before, Steven and her, about the why. Why would you stay in that?
Mm-hmm.
It sort of gets addressed, but it's sort of you're uncertain. And then I think that's smart to finally be like, well, here.
Yeah. It was a very sweet moment. I mean, even I would hope that I eventually will have people like that around me. That sounded bleak.
people to lift me up.
Maybe for once. But it was just, they were telling her what she needed to hear, and they could tell it. No one needed to tell them to do it. They just knew.
Yeah.
And that's a big
thing. The strangest thing with this film, I feel like, is it has all these really great moments that don't add up for me. They're great on their own.
Yeah.
Great character moments. It almost would, I don't know how it would work better, but there are moments like that where I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. And then these other moments where I'm like, okay, this is long.
What did you think about that little quick thing where she's rushing to get dinner on the table?
I thought that was absolutely out of place.
Yeah.
That is a different movie.
I was like, this has so much potential, but like, why? It's like a
comedy farce.
What is happening? And it just, it was so weird.
I didn't know what the point of that scene was, except to see that John Goodman wasn't this like super confident, like can do anything person, maybe.
Yeah.
Like the fish tank thing. The water thing I didn't understand. That was a joke. Then never had any payoff.
Yeah,
I thought they were gonna like get sick or something.
Turned off but the thing that causes the fish tank water is that the water's just turned off in their kitchen and nobody ever fixes it. How would just the water in your kitchen get turned off?
Yeah. And then the idea of taking the water from the fish bowl.
Right, with the fish inside of it.
Like, they said that works in the bathroom. Like, why would you...
How is it that much shorter?
Freshman year in my dorm, all I had was bathroom water. It was fine, I think.
It's all water. I'm fine now. Yeah. It was a fun scene, but it's
super out of place.
The context of the rest of the film, you're like, I don't...
So then I would jump other things I think that have aged poorly. A lot of the comedy is impression comedy and like really offensive stereotype comedy, especially in voices.
Mostly like Middle Eastern.
Yes. And Asian. I don't really have much else to say about that except that like, oh, maybe that's why it didn't work. I was like, this is not funny.
There's also her big joke in the beginning. Also, this movie's long. It's like, it's 2 hours. I could have done without.
It could have been a solid 90 minutes. Yeah. But it's about... I thought stuff was wrapping up at one point.
Nope. Whole new movie started. Yeah, that contest.
Yeah.
Added a fucking sixth act. Her big joke about the babysitter being named Charlie Manson. That was like her clincher, like that, and I don't feel like I ever saw her deliver it the way that it should have been delivered.
Yeah, maybe that was a joke that in the 80s would have killed, but did not kill in 2018 for me.
Yeah, no thanks.
We're being so negative, but let's continue.
So we talked about what it means to be a mother, or you know, femininity in this time, how it's so tied in with your motherhood. Great, I feel like we solved that. Feminism doesn't belong anymore. I'm kidding. But I do think we got to see the flip side of that when we saw Steven break down on stage.
Yeah.
Because he alluded to the fact that he could never be manly enough the way that his father was. He didn't go hunting. He would pass out at the sight of blood. He was like never enough for his own father. And I think that was really nice because we don't get to see those kind of things with men in film often. I don't, at least.
I think that's true, especially in, like, the landscape of... I mean, if that sort of stuff's going to come out, it's going to come out in, like, an artist as a conversation piece. They can, like, put that into their stuff. But I think that was the stuff he was holding back. And it seemed, if I'm not mistaken, was sort of what gazed into his new content at the contest that sort of won them over.
Mm-hmm.
So when he quit trying to play this shtick of make fun of this, make fun of that, do this impression, he started to become this, like... personal thing, the personal comedy, and that won over the judges. Because that seemed to be what she brought to the table.
Right.
Her comedy that she ultimately did was very personal. it was joking, but like in a manner that like when John Goodman came to see her, like he was taken with it because it seemed to be true. Because when they left at the end together, he was giving her like, oh, you should tell this story next time. You should tell this story. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool. I liked that the ending wasn't her changing her life. It was her getting what she wanted, what she set out to do, but also making like a really drastic decision because she's like, oh, I can have both of these things.
Yeah.
I can take this one opportunity and that will change everything, or I can continue being like this space where I'm comfortable and get to be a mother and also a comedian.
Yeah.
And I can operate both.
She just wanted to know that she could do it.
Yeah. And I think she wanted the support too.
Yeah.
I think she wanted this because I think to her the relation, like she talked about some of her comedy was about their relationship, how it used to be versus what it was. And I think this was a changing ground for them of sort of this mutual understanding and a mutual equality thing.
Yeah. It was nice. Do you think that Steven should have won the contest?
I don't know because I think it was pretty clear she was going to win.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes sense from what we saw that he would have been the other person because he sort of does his comedy, whether or not we thought it was funny, did evolve to become something new and something like entirely him. So mm-hmm. I guess that's where we're supposed to be like, yeah, he yeah. did deserve.
I think I would have liked to see because it was so obvious that it was like it was going to be Tom or Sally yeah. that won. I would have liked a little bit. I mean, God knows the runtime of this movie is already way too long, but we could have seen a little bit more of these other acts if they'd narrowed it down to 5 people instead of the 10.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Then you just, that suspense, I think, would have been built up a little bit more in it.
Yeah, and I one thing I thought was smart from a directorial sense was the final shot of Tom when he does win is all in silence. Mm-hmm. And the last conversation we hear is with Sally Fields and John Goodman. Because mm-hmm. it is her story, but like we want to know how that, what comes of that. Because it's important to Tom's character, but also I think to Sally Fields. Because like they're friends, even if it's weird. Like she wanted that for him because that's what he wanted. That was the thing holding him back. Beyond himself, and he obtained it. Yeah. So it was, I think, kind of a smart play to just do that in silence and give us the real conversation we want to hear outside.
Because mm-hmm. it's kind of implied that if Tom / Steven hadn't won this contest, he was done with comedy.
Yeah.
Something that was kind of what I picked
and up. And maybe life.
High. Yeah, was, I mean, he sure joked about suicide.
There was there were a few moments where, like, the older gentleman downstairs.
Oh, yeah.
Who that sort of got, I thought that was going to be more because there's like the one conversation they have with him where he thinks he's having a heart attack. And I was worried they were going to like come back to something bad, but they sort of have that scene. I guess it's just the scene to redeem Tom.
Yeah.
Because we get 2 of those. We see him in the hospital after he does the bit where he talks to the kid and we don't see what he sees. We just see Sally watching him.
Yeah.
Which I think is sort of what we're supposed to be like, oh, well, that's why she falls for him a little bit.
But okay, keep going.
No, that's, yeah.
I really don't feel like she was ever into it.
I don't think so either.
Like, she just kissed him.
Yeah.
But was like, this is incredibly inappropriate. I'm a married woman. And he was like kind of forcing it.
Yeah.
And it was creepy.
And calls her and...
Oh my God. Yeah. Except for part of that, you're like, yeah, go date Tom because John Goodman is a piece of shit to you.
Yeah, we haven't had the redemption yet. Mm-hmm. A lot of shitty dudes.
Yeah. Also like... One woman. 2 women.
Yeah. And one guy that dressed up as a nun a lot.
Right.
I did like that kind of the thing standing in Tom's way was this woman in power, that executive. Uh-huh.
That he couldn't, like, sleep with.
Yeah.
To, like, get out of it. Or, like, gain the control back. You know what made me laugh out loud was at that final, like, towards the end when the guy at the comedy club says, if you guys leave, you're disqualified.
Yeah.
And so Sally Fields is like, okay, well, I'm disqualified. Like, bye.
Yeah.
And then a few other people start joining solidarity. And then that one guy's like, I'm in. I'm still in the contest.
Then in the end, everyone's on stage.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Well, because they didn't need their show of... Anyway, I literally laughed out loud.
Yeah, I liked that guy because he was just a chode. Yeah. It's weird. Did you see The Big Sick last year?
Not.
It has a moment of... a similar thing of a breakdown on stage, but it's handled. I mean, it's the same type of performance thing where like it's kind of a standout part and it's really good. If you want like a really good stand up movie, you should follow this up with
The Big Sick. Double feature.
Yeah, Kumail Nanjiani is
really good in that. He got nominated for it.
Yeah.
I kept meaning to see it, but I haven't. I saw almost all the others.
I think it helps, too, that that movie is written by him and his wife, Emily Gordon. Mm. And so you feel that it's about a man and a woman, but, like, you feel both sides of things.
Okay.
Though impressive, because this punchline is written and directed by a man, but it's, like, a pretty interesting tale about a woman breaking free from these social norms.
Yeah, I would dare say, like, kind of ahead of its time.
Yeah.
But did anybody get to appreciate that?
In regards to reception, it's a pretty mixed reception movie.
Yeah.
I think it has like a 50%.
On Rotten Tomatoes, yeah, is what I saw.
Some of the reviews I read were really scattered of, which I think I agree with, like some great ideas and like an overly long and kind of messy product.
Did it make money?
It did, I think it made $21 million at the box office.
Damn.
But they sort of rushed it because after Big came out...
Oh, this was the
follow-up. They wanted
to
get it out. Yeah. Big came out, Tom Hanks was blowing up, they were like, get this movie out. So I think it did better than it would have because of him. But not like anything substantial. It made its money back and then some, but was not like some revelation at the box office.
Because this is kind of a new character for Sally Fields too, right?
Yeah, I don't know a ton of her work from the past. Which is weird because I feel like I know a lot of Sally Fields, but I don't know a ton. Like, I just think of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
When I think of Sally Fields.
Wait, is she in Spider-Man? Toby.
Yes. No, McGuire. She's in the Andrew Garfield one.
Oh, the one we don't talk about?
Yeah. We can talk about the first one's okay.
Yeah, it is. You know, I loved the new Spider-Man. Sidebar.
Oh, it's so good. It's Homecoming?
Yeah.
So good,
it's
yeah.
A very good movie. Okay. Yes. I feel like she just plays moms, but this mom had, like, she was a cool mom, you know?
This is the type of movie that, like, my mom, if she was scrolling through the TV, found him and watched, and then afterwards she'd be like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can be a comedian.
Yeah.
That's the only message they get.
I would love to watch my mom do stand-up.
Would you ever do stand-up?
I did stand-up in high school.
You did?
Uh-huh. And I've done
Actually,
it. I've done
good.
It with... So, a little spoiler. When we do the burbs next time, mm-hmm. we're going to bring in our very first guest. Am I jumping ahead by announcing this?
Don't say who it is.
Okay, I won't say who it is, but it's a person, and I've done some stuff with them on stage.
At the film festival, you did some kind of like commentary. It wasn't stand-up, obviously, but you had some very funny jokes.
Oh, thank you. Self-deprecation.
Yeah, it was funny.
Helps me. Thank you.
I was very proud of you. I used to like do acting and stuff.
Air quotes.
Yeah, and that's like totally different because you're being somebody else and you are like using someone else's words.
I took a lot of acting in high school, not because I wanted to act, but because I was really obsessed with DVD special features and some movies I was obsessed with as a teenager when I was like really getting into filmmaking. They were like, you should learn to act because directing is about like working with actors.
Wow.
And I was like, well, if I learn how actors work, then I can talk to them. So I did a lot of acting. And
oh my God, you're so dedicated to your craft.
I really love DVD commentaries and special features, and I follow them like a Bible.
I have literally never watched or listened to a commentary.
There's some great ones. It's easier now because they're like YouTube. Sometimes people put them on YouTube as audio, so you can kind of watch them as
a... What's a good one? What should I start
with? Edgar Wright does really good ones.
Okay.
But some of them are like really technical.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you have a movie you really like, especially if you get like a director or like the actor comes.
Yeah.
Like we should maybe see if Tom Hanks does some commentaries. He probably does for Larry Crown, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I bet he does.
It's cool. Get some insight. And if they're like a personable
Larry
person.
Crown. Oh, no, I love it.
Because sometimes you get like a director or a crew member who's better left behind the camera.
Yeah.
Then sometimes you have someone really personal and passionate and they're like, you should watch this. We watched this. And I'm like, yes.
Maybe one day you and I can release a commentary of a movie.
You're going to say of an episode. So it'll be us talking, but then talking over the episode, critiquing our episode.
No, like next time we watch Punchline, which I don't know.
Maybe we can follow up. So we'll finish out everything and then we'll go back through everything, but do them as a companion commentary. So you watch it with the movie.
Wow, yeah.
People could listen to us for 2 hours over Punchline.
Yeah, you lucky, lucky people. Well, let's talk about our final verdicts.
Okay.
Do you want to go first or me?
I'll go. Because okay. I'm in a weird state with this, where I think a lot of what this movie's trying to do, I commend. I think it, in terms of story and sort of these character stories, it's kind of, it feels like it's ahead of its time. It's still relevant today. I think some of the messages are really interesting, and Sally, everyone in it's really good. But I think it's just such a sloppy movie that it really brings it down. And then some of the content, especially in the stand-up, has aged so poorly that that just strikes it down for me. So it's a really middle of the road. I don't think it's bad, but I don't think it's great. But I think it could be great, which then makes me kind of mad at it. So I would offer it as a very average. I would say like a 2.5 or 3 out of 5 for me.
Okay. I think I'm similar. It does feel like it didn't know if it was a comedy or a drama, and it just played both sides, but yeah. Neither one very well. I appreciated a lot of the characters. I think this is one of the best performances of Tom's that we've seen. Like, truly.
Yeah.
Some incredible acting. I felt so many things about the character of Stephen Gould that it's, like, crazy to me that this performance, like, exists in the movie Punchline. I wouldn't expect it.
I'm surprised it doesn't get talked about more by people in regards to Tom Hanks' performances.
Yeah. I mean, or Sally Field really layered and nuanced character.
It's dark.
It's but so dark.
Feels real and lived in.
That's exactly. It's like, I could know this person. So I can commend that, and that makes me want to bump it up to, like, 3.5.
Yeah.
But other than that, besides the, like, cool, like, woman doing her thing, proving everybody else wrong, like, I'm all on board for that, too, so.
Yeah, I just think it could have been 90 minutes, 100 minutes. Yeah,
too long. And none of the jokes were funny.
That was the weirdest thing. At first I was like, I'm just being cynical and it's not working, but then I was like, no, they're not funny.
Yeah, and comedy's evolved, but even that time frame, there was funny comedies. Movies.
Yeah. Stand-up is a world that I immensely respect and, like, cannot comprehend how they can pull that off, because mm-hmm. it is so insanely difficult and horrifying. But to put it on camera in the realm of a movie that's supposed to kind of be timeless is tough.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's why when a movie does it so well, like Don't Think Twice or...
Don't Blink. Don't Blink. That's the...
Don't Breathe, you mean?
No, but Don't Blink. Isn't that a... Doctor Who episode?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the best.
That's what I'm thinking.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I lost my train of thought, but it doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
Well.
Okay.
So that's the what with Punchline.
Yeah.
The film. So let's freaking mosey to our next section.
What is it?
We doing Hank's Happenings next?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's rock some happenings. Okay. You got any cool happenings?
Wait, we have to say it together.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Hank's Happenings! Wow, that was so natural.
I can't believe we did that the first time.
That was so seamless. We just spiked
all the audio. Yeah. That's what the people want.
Everybody in their cars right now is like...
What do you got?
Well...
I'm sorry I always leave this to you, but, like, you're watching Tom. You're keeping track. You got your tabs on Tom.
Oh, boy, do
tabs.
I.
Tabs on Tom.
Okay, new segment. It's just all the tabs open on my computer.
Yeah, that have Tom Hanks in it.
I used to look at Google images of Tom Hanks during finals week in college. I have
for, like, inspiration?
Just to calm me down.
Yeah.
I just, like...
nice. You, like, closing some other tabs to come across that. You're like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, boo. He tweeted something very funny, and I gotta find it. It made me laugh. No. He tweeted a picture. This was, like, 12 hours ago as of this recording, so it's a very recent thing. He tweeted, here's a still from the movie I'm shooting in Baton Rouge. Hanks. And then it's just a still from the opening scene of an episode of Love Boat that he appeared in. Which is, like, so funny to me.
I'll have to ask. One of the producers I work for worked on Love Boat for years. I wonder if she ever met Tom Hanks.
And, like, how many episodes did he do? We're going to do a whole mini-sode of just, like, TV Tom.
Yeah.
There is some gold.
That is a Hanks happening in that... Our book club is almost coming to a close. We got 2 episodes left?
Something like that.
We got... And then after that, then we're going to move into music videos, television, Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good stuff.
And maybe... Yeah, there's plenty to cover. I want to cover Colin Hanks. I want to cover his wife, who I can't remember the name of.
Rita Wilson?
Rita Wilson and her music. We have so much. The World of Tom is literally ours to enjoy.
Yes.
That sounds
That's a good
terrifying.
Way to
put it. He's contributed a lot to our society, and I'm incredibly thankful.
He does. He's given us a podcast to talk about, so.
Thank you. I don't have a talking Tom other than that, like,
I don't either.
All my close friends think I'm insane because I'm still doing this podcast.
We got a great review from my girlfriend's parents.
Why?
They started at the beginning and they're watching through listening through, and they're loving it.
Wow.
They're watching stuff because of it, which is cool.
Well, you heard it here first. Daniel's girlfriend's parents love our podcast.
I don't think they've rated us on iTunes because maybe they don't know how, but I hope they do.
Well,
it should be, yeah, so I said before, starting our next, in 2 weeks, we're going to be doing the Burbs. From here on out, we're pretty much in, like, primo Tom mode.
Yeah.
We got the Burbs, Turner and Hooch, Joe versus the Volcano. We got some great stuff coming up. And then we're going to get into 90s Tom, and from there, it's just smooth, beautiful sailing, perfect weather. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, Josie and I had this idea. We want to bring in guests when we can, people who are directly connected to things. So for the Burbs, we have some... someone coming in to talk his relation to the Burbs that's a really unique way in Los Angeles, and we'll kind of see where things go from there, but things will pick up, and hopefully we'll have more talk Tom to us, because people have started to see the stuff we're talking about.
Listen, everything happens the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. It's the struggle is getting that connection with your audience, but I think we've spent the last 12 episodes sort of building up our brand.
And a connection with Tom.
Tom and us.
Yeah.
To, like, get this thing figured out. Because now this feels like, this is, like, an easy, we're, like, cruising through it.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for the future. We're 12 in, plus a lot of mini-sodes.
Six mini-sodes.
And 2018 is still young. And it's going
to
be great.
I, like, so badly wanted to quote another podcast right now, but I'm not going to steal other people's jokes. Okay, so anything else you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I have one question. I see your notes for Punchline, and there is a lipstick kiss on the page.
That is because I brought this notebook with me in my car this morning, and then right before I got to work, I applied my lipstick and realized I had nowhere to blot my lips. That's the thing you have to do. Also, anything with Tom, I just got a kiss.
I looked at when he first opened it, I was like, oh, maybe Josie loved this movie.
Ew.
Because she kissed the page. Yeah. That's your rating system.
I truly have, like, so many Taco Bell receipts in my car that I keep just so that I can blot my lipstick with.
You should keep all of your notes of everything we've done, because you could release that as the book someday.
Oh, yeah.
The Talk and Tom companion piece.
Just really disorganized.
Yeah. You just sort of look like a Zodiac type of thing.
Yeah, pages falling out.
It sounds so crisp in the microphone.
ASMR.
Those pages. Yeah.
Well, all right, guys. If you're interested in continuing the conversation, you can leave us a review on iTunes. You can find us at our website, talkintom.com. That's talkin' without the G. We've also got social media accounts.
We've got Instagram. We've got Twitter. We've got, and then our SoundCloud. Is that social media? I guess you can comment on it. So yeah. All of that is at PodHanksTomCast.
Yeah.
All of it. That's our username on everything.
Everywhere. Even our domain redirects to that.
Yeah, you can freaking type that in, too.
Yeah, you can freaking type that in.
Type that into Google and see what you find. It's us.
Honestly,
spoiler.
Tell us what you find.
Yeah. And then I'm on Twitter at ThatDanielOtt and on Instagram at DanielOtt, and you're on both of those things as well.
I am my first and last name, Josie Vorenkamp. Good luck spelling that.
Well, then they can find your blog, Sugar and Satire.
Yeah, I do more stuff with my blog. That's all, like, baking-related content, but also some book reviews that I've started doing.
It's pretty cool. And then I'll kind of pull things back, since we're 12 in and I'm really about to get into the thick of things. We're going to throw out another thank you to James Wilcox, who goes by JCW, and he's the person who made our theme song, that beautiful, beautiful, crisp theme song.
Every time I hear that opening line of Tom screaming, ooh, baby.
And then our logo work was done by
a wonderful friend of mine. Her name's Jackie Phillips, who does graphic design under the name Precious Beast. She's a dream to work with. And
she's wonderful.
Yeah.
And so fast and thorough and, like, responded to every one of our concerns.
Yeah.
And we'll link all of their information in the show notes, and under everything you can find all of their work. And there's a lot of it. They're doing some cool stuff.
Yeah. We have some really wonderful people in our lives, and I can't wait to introduce all of them to Tom.
that'll be the ultimate goal. So yeah, again, next week, we're talking Uncommon Type. So if you're reading the book, come read with us. If you haven't, pick up the book. It's great.
Give it a shot.
It's bite-sized chunks. It's short stories. It's going to not take much of your time. And then we're doing The Burbs. So watch The Burbs. You've probably already seen The Burbs. The Burbs is a good movie. And I'm excited. Oh, spoiler. It's a good movie. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah.
All right. I'll quit doing whatever else I'm doing. Shut up, Daniel. It's like 9:15 and I'm like pumped.
I'm Josie.
I'm Daniel.
Thanks for listening.